Hey, thank you guys for listening to Pure Frequency. I want to thank you guys, but also apologize in advance for this particular episode. See, we were having a few technical difficulties, and because so, the frequency wasn't as right as we wanted it. But without further ado, we're just going to put it out because I feel the words that are inside of this particular episode are going to bless you in whatever stage that you're in. Now, this particular episode, we have Evan from Childlike Faith, and he is a fashion mogul for Christian wear. And I believe that, you know, we definitely can proclaim our faith outside of our bodies, but it's the inner man that what we wear on the inside. You know, we wear Jesus, and Evan gets a little bit into that, and you know what books to read and some of the scriptures that he wants to expound on and give to you. So without further ado, here it is. Again, we apologize for the sound. We know it's not tip top quality, but we'll get there. All right. Thank you guys so much. God bless and be well. What's up? What's up? Hey, I am so happy to be here today, sitting next to one of my favorite brothers, because he's got a lot of his clothes in my closet. And let me explain. That might sound a little weird, but let me explain here. This brother is the creator, the inventor, the one inspired by God to create Childlike Faith, which is one of my favorite Christian clothing brands. What's up?
What's up, bro? This is cool.
How you doing?
I'm glad to be here. It's been a long time. You know, I feel relaxed. I feel like I've been here for years. I feel super comfortable. Like,
you know? There you go. Yeah, get comfy, man. That's what it's all about. We want you to feel comfortable. That's the main purpose. And we got some tea here.
Oh, yeah. This matcha tea is hitting a little bit, you know?
Did you taste it yet?
I had a sip.
Yeah, a sip? Okay. So is that mixed with honey?
Yeah,
it's good. It's pretty good.
That's what they drink in heaven.
I got the ginger turmeric.
I drink that a lot, drinking ginger turmeric.
It's good. It's good for your belly. I really enjoy it. So let's get into this. Your clothing brand. What first inspired you to make a clothing brand?
It was many years ago. I just never did it, but it was like 2012 or 11, I was in Georgia, and me and my friend Billy and this girl named Sarah David, we were leading worship at a church. And when I'm like, you know, we're singing worship, I had this vision of a little girl jumping into her father's arms. And I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, that's how we are. And then when I open up my eyes, I see like in the natural, like a little baby in the front, and a dad was like throwing a baby up. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And I was like, okay. And and then God was, you know, it's one of the few times that I heard the clear audible voice. It was only like two or three times in my life. He was like, that's how I want you to be. And I was like, oh, I need to make a shirt like that. And then I made a childlike shirt. I wasn't trying to promote it or anything. We were just wearing it places we would sing at. And then, you know, fast forward 10 years later, COVID happened. I used to do a lot of video production, and I was doing, you know, different evangelist stuff and going out in the streets and praying for people. But some people, if I try to bring with me, they were like, oh, I didn't know how to open up, start a conversation. And then God was like, oh, just start the brand I told you about 10 years ago, and Childlike Faith. And the main thing, I was like, preaching a gospel is trying to bring lost sheep into the fold. Mm. It show them, it's twofold. It's like showing people, this is what a child of God supposed to be, but really, this is how good God the Father is. Not just, this is how good God is. God wants you to know him as Father first before you know him as God.
That's powerful. You know? That's such a true statement.
Yeah.
He does want you to know him as a father first.
Yeah.
It's so important.
Yeah.
Can you get into, and one of the things, secondly, that I love about Evan is his impeccable timing with scripture. And I know you got a scripture that'll go with that. I know you do, man. I know you do.
So it's there's a couple of scriptures. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. You know, so John is saying, it's like a commandment. Behold, look how amazing God is that we could be called his children. You know, this is the apostle that laid his head on Jesus and he walked with him for 3.5 years. And now he's older at this point. He goes, God's love is so good, you know? He's not even just thinking about just the cross. He's thinking post-cross, the resurrection. Like, now we are children of God. You know, and John 1 says, Jesus came to the world, but the world did not receive him. But those who have received him, those are the ones who have the chance to become children of God, not by flesh and blood, but by the Spirit. The same person who wrote in John 3:3, you must become born again. John is the one who recorded it. You know, Amen. He remembered that.
Amen.
You know, and then Jesus in Matthew 18:3, he goes, you can't come into the kingdom unless you become like a little child. That's the point, not just a child, because sometimes, you know, child gets 9 to 10 years old, they start talking back. But a little child, when you were younger, if your dad or your mom or your guardian, whoever raised you, was like, jump off of this desk, you're not going to be like, are you going to catch me? You're going to jump.
You're going to jump.
Because you know you trust him.
Yeah.
And God wants you to trust him. And I'm going to pair it to another scripture, Hebrews 11:6. It says, he who comes to God must believe that he is. Actually, it goes, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he is. Yeah. So you can't come to him unless you believe that he is.
That's the first
amazing
thing you got to do.
That he is, believe that he is, that he is a God. He is the creator, the all-powerful one. But he's also, how Jesus describes himself in Matthew 11:28-30, he's lowly and gentle in heart. Come to me, you'll find rest.
Amen.
And he tells people to come to him, but he says, learn from me. Come to me, learn from me, become born again, repent, turn away. So now we're, like Paul says, we're new creations. You know, we have the mind of Christ. We're created new. He didn't make Angelo and Adam a little better when we got born again. He's like, Angelo, the old person is dead. Now you're my child. Before the world has you, because Adam was silly, you know, the fall.
Yeah, he was wilding.
You know,
he's wild out.
But immediately God had a plan, you know.
Facts.
Somebody asked me a question, I think a couple of weeks ago, why did it take God so long to rescue us? And I was like, your question is already flawed.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, he had to show humans, the world, that he gave them a chance that for 4,000 years they couldn't do it without him, you know? So, you know, he gave everything to Abraham and he gave the promise and he showed, gave them the law, showed them that they couldn't keep the law. Mm. So, you know what I mean? It's different if it's like he came right away and then the devil would have been like, wait a minute, you didn't even give them a chance. You didn't give them a chance to mess up or not. Then we would have been robots. But I love that, like, you know, Jesus says in John 17 that he thought about us before the foundation of the world. And the same way he thinks about Jesus is the same way he thinks about me.
Amen.
So before we did anything, before Jesus did anything, he goes, this is my beloved son who I'm well pleased. And since we're in Christ, you know, that's the way he looks at us. So in Romans 8, it says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. We must cry out, Abba, Father.
Yeah.
So we get to say Abba. We get to run to the throne room of grace boldly because we're his children.
That's right.
We're his children who serve, not servants who are his children.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I know I said a lot, but I'm just like tying all the scriptures together.
You said what you were supposed to say.
Yeah. I'm trying to tie it in together because everything is like this thread in the DNA. There's probably hundreds or thousands of different scriptures that go with it. But, you know, now I think it's amazing. I think the first time I read, I think it was 1 John when John said that perfect love is this, that we have boldness on the day of judgment.
Amen.
Because as he is, so we're in this world, you know, fear is torment, but perfect love casts out fear. So I'm like, how can I have boldness on the day of judgment? Because, you know, most preachers were preaching, you know, the day of judgment as the, I think the Bible says the good and dreadful day. But it is dreadful for some, but we're washed by the blood of Jesus, you know what I mean? So it's good for me. If I get to have boldness on the day of judgment, that means that I should have boldness on this side of eternity with anything.
Very true.
Because I know who my Father is. And
oh,
if
man.
God, my Father, uh-huh. Abba, is for me, who can be against me successfully?
That's a word.
You know what I mean? So yes. It's like, it's... there's so many other scriptures and different subjects when it comes to the kingdom and the word, but we have to know we're his children first, or you're going to get burnt out.
That's very true. It's very true.
If you're trying to do all these things for God, God's like, wait, slow down. You're my joint heir. Do it with me. You're my child. You know what I mean? So the more you spend time with God, receiving his love, believing that he is, then you're like, oh, let me pour it out on Angela, I got a word, or Angela, what you got? And then you're like, oh, me and Olga been talking about this, and I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, that's so good, I receive it, you know. But you're spending time with your Father. That's why when the enemy brings accusations, Paul's like, there's no condemnation in Christ, you know, because the will of God is to see no one perish. But that's the God is good, and
that's my dog.
We can't graduate from like, oh, I know I'm a child of God. It's like in 1,000 years from now, 10 million years, we'll be like, me and Angela, I'm like, wow, we're here, you know. And God's not gonna change his mind about you. Like, oh, that was good, but I'm wiping you out now, because he doesn't change, and he knew what he was getting into. You know, there's a difference. I was telling somebody the other day. There's a difference between open rebellion and immaturity and growing. You know, don't let the enemy like bring accusations if you know you're growing. Like, did you learn from this, or you're like, oh, I'm still gonna do it? All right, so I know I said a lot, but childlike faith, I'm just trying to, it's like two different folds with the brand. I'm trying to obviously promote God, but I want some people to have conversation starters. So some designs are like, oh, that's cool, what does it mean? And then they're like, oh, I can tell you what it means. And then you being a believer, you tell them, oh, this is what it means about God, blah, blah, blah. And you don't have to, you can do whatever. You can preach the gospel if you want, or you can be like, hey, this, you want something prayer for? And a lot of times, 9 times out of 10, they will accept prayer. Or if they say, I'm good, this is what I do, and I have 100% success rate, is, well, if you don't, what about somebody else you know? And they always know, like, well, this person needs help. Like, everybody, even if they don't want to admit they need prayer, they're like, oh, my cousin, my brother, my sister, whatever, pray for anything, you know. And they just pray, and then in the prayer, I think it's funny, I'm laughing, but you can always pray for them in the prayer. I feel like you can pray for them and pray.
Yeah.
You know, just know.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, so, and then the other, some people, because I work with different churches, they want me to make certain stuff. They want, there's like some evangelists, some, you know, prayer team or whatever. And then I just want people, new believers, I want them to wear Christian stuff, because most of the stuff people are wearing, when you find out these companies are so with the woke Antichrist agenda, it's like, all right, we shouldn't be promoting this, you know. And I just want to give somebody something clean, and you know, and I don't have just one certain art style, I just, you know,
yeah, I definitely can attest to that. I got several of your hoodies, a few shirts, I got a bunch of hats, and it's good quality stuff. Like, I just remember this time of sitting in the 50s, and I had a chili dog. Got a little stain on me and was like, ah, look at this. You know, my wife was like, chill out, it's all good. We get to the crib, she puts shout on it, right? Lets it sit, throws it in the washer, in the morning it was gone. And we're talking about greasy chili stain. Like
grease, sometimes it'll be coming out, some other stuff, you know.
Hey, she got it. It came out and it was great.
There you go.
I want to tell you guys that Evan is not only, I think he has an evangelistic calling, but that's just me.
That's
just what I see.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to call her Pastor Evans when I see him. Pastor Evans. And, you know, in that calling, there's something in that because the Holy Spirit is working in and in through him. But he's also working through the clothing line because there's been many times where I had evangelistic opportunities due to the clothing line.
Yeah.
And if you are a type of Christian who is new to the faith, or you just have trouble not knowing what to say, maybe you should just go ahead and put something on, right? Put something on that says what you believe.
Yeah.
So that way someone can see it, ask it. They may not even ask you. They may ask somebody that they know, or they may even have a discussion about it later in the car.
Exactly.
You never know.
Because the word doesn't come back void.
It does not come back void.
Because you don't know who is watching. A lot of people are watching you. Because I don't care if they approach me. I want them to go to God, you know, at the end of the day. You don't got to talk to me. Just, I remember seeing a billboard. I'm like, all right, God, I've been slacking.
Well, those billboards do be hitting, though.
I used to live in Georgia, man. They used to be the real
Bible Belt.
I was like, okay. Because when I was a brand new believer, I didn't know there wasn't people discipling me yet. Took a couple of years from, okay, I need to serve in a church. And once I started serving, I had people mentoring me and discipling me. And I'm like, okay, I was trying to do it all, just me and God, but I didn't know where to start in the Bible, you know. Yeah.
Do you have something to give someone, maybe if they don't know how to start?
Oh,
maybe,
okay. I got
like, what would be a perfect place for them to start?
Okay, well, there's two different types of people if you're new. If you heard the gospel already, I think you should start in James. James, the book of James in the New Testament, it's only 5 chapters. It's like the primer before the paint, the basic, this is what you do in Christianity. It's the first book written in the New Testament, recorded. And then read James through Revelation, then go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But if you barely understand the gospel, start in the gospel of John, for me, I think, because you should start in the beginning was the word, and you know, it's like starting in Genesis, but it's from the New Testament. So you go to John, the Revelation, then Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I challenge people, I tell people, listen, if you're new, you got to get rid of so much stuff. So read 5-10 chapters a day, because before you got saved, you was doing other stuff, wasting time. Spend an hour and two with God by reading the word, read it out loud, and don't worry about understanding it at all. Just read it just to wash and cleanse you, help it renew your mind, you know? And then after you read through the New Testament, if you read 10 chapters a day, this is a mathematical fact, you read it once a month. There's 27 chapters in the New Testament. 10 chapters a day, you read the whole New Testament once a month, and it'll just cleanse you. And, you know,
for
you could just sometimes somebody can ask you something like, for some reason, I feel like that's in Mark. I don't know where. And like, that's how it was for me. I didn't know it was Mark 7, Mark 4. I was like, I think it's in
that's
Mark.
In, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And then after a while, the more I read it, I'm like, okay, it's Mark 4, verse 7. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't care if I get the verse wrong. I just care about like the, you know, I know it's Mark chapter 4.
It's in the book of Mark, or it's in the book of, it's around this general area.
Yeah, and I tell new people, because you could be overwhelmed by reading the gospel, is I tell everybody, get a new King James Version. You don't got to get King James down D. We don't speak like that anymore, which I still do like King James because some translations are weird. But get new King James and just read it, and you're reading the word to know the author. That's the first thing I say. Like, you're reading the word to know the God of the word, not to do a to-do list and to, you have to do this, to know him, to build up your relationship. Because if you don't know what he's like, then you're gonna, if you fall, the Bible says, if you fall, if you sin, do this, you know, you come back. It doesn't say when, you know, some preachers will preach that way, but it says, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, you know, Jesus to cleanse you. So if you fall, then get right back up.
Yeah, when's kind of a wild joint, isn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't say when, but a lot of people preach like that.
When gives you, like, I feel like it almost gives you the occasion to go ahead and sin.
Yeah.
Where if kind of implies like you may go days without it.
Yeah.
You may go weeks without it. Maybe.
Yeah.
It's an implication there that says you're not going to be sinning all the time.
Yeah.
So that's one to really think about. Like, how wicked do we live in this generation where sinning is a daily thing?
Yeah.
And then you're just like, when? No, yeah. Not when.
If.
That's powerful.
Yeah. And then there's a scripture.
Message.
Message. There's a scripture that I feel like it helps me and I help other people with it. But to me, every time I read it and I just feel like it's fresh. This is 1 John 3:20. It says, "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God." You know what I mean? And it says, yeah. Whatever you ask, you have whatever you want.
I need y'all to listen to what he just said here. The scripture. Which scripture is that?
This is 1 John 3:20.
1 John 3:20.
Yeah.
I need y'all to listen to that.
Yeah. "For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than your heart, greater than your feelings, and knows all things. Beloved, if your heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God."
Don't ever feel like you know more than God.
Yeah.
Don't feel like you have done so wrong in your life that God will never love you, because God knows way more than what you could know. And his judgments are purer than your heart could ever be, because your heart is deceitfully wicked. Ooh. Who can know it but God? So you have to really have this understanding that whatever you think, it ain't that. That's why it's so important to dive in this word and know God.
Yeah, that's why it says the just shall live by faith, not emotions and feelings. You know, so once we get out our feelings, Paul says, press on things above towards the upward call.
Ooh.
Don't worry about your past. You know, like, oh, but I used to do this. No, that's the enemy accusing you. Like, I still feel like, no, you're cleansed. The Bible says when you confess your sins, God decides to throw all of it into the sea of forgetfulness. So he decides to forget. He chooses to forget about what you've done.
Wow.
So if you are bringing it up or you're thinking it, it's not you, it's the enemy trying to convince you. God is condemning you. He's the one still trying to have this judge hammer. Look what you've done. It's like, no, you could rejoice. Like, oh, I'm so glad I'm not like that anymore.
Wow.
You know, I'm so glad that it says in Romans 6:14, that sin shall have no more dominion over you. We're no longer slaves to it. You know, Jesus says, whoever the Son sets free is free indeed.
Amen.
You're more than overcomers. And if you, and like I said, if you do fall, get back up. God is with you.
Get back up.
It's simple.
God will forgive you.
Yeah.
And the only person that isn't going to forgive you is you.
Yeah.
You could, your feelings could really put a door where there should be no door.
Yeah.
You got to knock that thing off the hinges, man, and allow God to show you who you are.
Yeah.
You could try to tell yourself who you are all day, but God's forgiveness, his love, his mercy, and his goodness show you who you are. You are valuable. You are the child of the Most High God, and you should act as such. Speaking of being a child of the Most High God, don't forget to click this link. Click this link. Take a look at this clothing line. Take a look at this brand. Let's exalt Christ and push forward the kingdom with every fiber of our being. Got any last words for our viewers?
Yeah. Really quick, since we're on the same subject, is this one preacher named Alan Hood. He's the one who got me thinking this way. Is when you look in the mirror, do you see what God sees? Do you think what he thinks? What does God think about me? So those emotions that you're fighting, I'm like, okay, well, I don't know what you think. So that's why I read the word. So sometimes if I'm feeling emotionally overwhelmed or whatever it is, anxiety, whatever your name you want to put it.
Sure.
I have to speak what the word says. So I have to find scriptures and speak it out loud. And that, to me, the most simple one is John 14:1. Is what Jesus' words, "Let not your heart be troubled." you believe in me, believe in God. So yeah.
Yeah. That is one of my favorite verses, because it makes me understand that I can trust Christ. I can, like, I hang on every word of Christ because he and the Father are one.
Yeah.
I'm literally reading about the life of Yahweh.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's awesome. Like, that's so crazy. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I'm going to leave y'all with my favorite scripture, and it ties into everything we were saying. John 15:9, Jesus says, just as the Father loves me, I love you. Abide in my love. Just as God loves God, he loves me. He doesn't wake up tomorrow like, well, I don't love Angelo today. I don't love Evan today. He loves himself because he is love. He can't change. So even if I don't feel love, that heart feeling condemned, I know that I'm loved because the word says that. And in John 17:23 says, the Father loves you because you love Jesus. So it's the same thing. It's like, I can't graduate from God loving me the same way he loves himself. He doesn't have a bad emotional day. I'm like, oh, I know I'm loved. And he goes, abide in my love, continue there, stay here. It's a commandment. Like, just receive my love, let you soak in his presence, soak in that truth, and let that cleanse any other lie and thoughts. Let God be true, and every man, even your own thoughts at times, be a liar. That's
Amen.
It. Yeah, that's it.
Hey, man.
God's well, good.
We want to thank you guys for listening. We want to thank you guys for just